Welcome to the results presentation of CIE Automotive. Lorea Aristizabal, Director for Corporate Development for the CIE Group, will be in charge of giving the presentation. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. You will be able to ask your questions by phone by dialing 01 at any time during the presentation. I'm going to hand over to Ms. Aristizabal. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, and thank you all very much for attending our results conference for this first quarter. We can begin by reviewing the automotive division to then move on to Dominion and the consolidated results. Sales have grown in this quarter by 32% compared to the same period last year, a growth which is the result of various effects. First of all, a 4% positive effect because of the exchange rate, an inorganic growth of 10% through the integrations of Amaya Telleria and Bill Forge. We haven't considered Nucor. The Nucor income statement will be included starting April 1st, and a significant organic growth of more than 17%. But what is even more important, 17%, which has been obtained in a market that has globally grown 6% in the quarter, 17% backed by growth that beat the market in practically all geographic areas. And let's review them, starting with the NAFTA market, with a production growth of 3% in the quarter, but with a very unequal distribution. Canada with minus 3%, United States with minus 1%, and Mexico with plus 21%. And CIE in NAFTA with an increase of 23% without Forex, including two things: inorganic growth, 4%, because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria Mexico, and organic growth of 19%, much higher than the market because of the additional contribution of the numerous new projects that continue to increase our market share over them. We move to the European market with a production increase of 6% in the quarter, and CIE in Europe with a growth of 24% without Forex, including both an 8% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria in Spain and Slovakia, and an organic growth of 16%, much higher than the market once again because of the industrialization and ramp-up of all our new projects. The Brazil market with a production increase of 24% in the quarter, although it's true that the estimates for the year point at an increase of 10% for 2017, and a CIE in Brazil with a growth of 32% without Forex, including, again, 14% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria Brazil, and an organic growth of 18%, maintaining the positive trend of CIE in the last few quarters. The India market with an increase in production of 7% in the quarter, and a CIE in India with a growth of 52% without Forex, including 38% inorganic growth because of the contribution of Bill Forge, and a 14% organic growth. We have to highlight this, 14%. Finally, also in India, we're beating the market as we are in other geographic areas. The Chinese market, where the production increase also of 7% in the quarter, and a CIE in China with a growth of 25% without Forex, much higher than the market, and which is exclusively organic, especially thanks to the successful ramp-up of our Forge project over there. Talking about automotive margins, there has been a good trend in each and every geographic areas to clearly comply with our strategic goals. NAFTA, with the support of the weakness of the Mexican peso, is on the verge of a 20% EBIT margin. Europe ex Mahindra CIE, where thanks to operating excellence, there are solid foundations with a 12% EBIT margin. Mahindra CIE Europe, which after the annus horribilis of 2016, is gradually recovering operation normalcy, and it's beating its historical margins with a 9% EBIT margin. In Brazil, which after 3 years of a profound crisis and very depressed margins, has more than 5% EBIT margin in the quarter. And Asia, which continues to improve with a further leap in margin improvements and has practically attained 10% EBIT margin. Moving on to Dominion. Its sales at a constant currency reflect a growth of 28%, including the positive exchange rate effect. Without this, the growth amounts to 30%. The contribution of 2016 acquisitions has contributed to a growth of 18%, and organic growth has been 10%, once again over the 7% goal for the quarter. Regarding business developments in the various segments, services have represented 61% of the turnover versus 39% from solutions, maintaining a similar balance to that of 2016. By geographic areas, the good progress in Latin America and above all the inclusion of the two North American companies in 2016 is offsetting the sluggishness of the Brazilian market and means we are increasing the weight of the business in America, which represents almost a third of the total. All this together with the high medium growth visibility thanks to new projects and significant customer allocations reaffirms our commitment for an annual organic growth of 7% for the coming years. Regarding margins, the service contribution margin is 8.4% compared to the 10% objective, while solutions is in line with the goal of 15%. And in both cases, both in services and solutions, the impact of the acquisitions made in 2016 has been felt, whose margins are still a little low and will gradually converge with the rest of Dominion, basically thanks to digitalization, internationalization, and a management model that requires operating profitability and control over the fixed structure. Although this impact on the margins will be felt throughout 2017, we believe that the operating integration of these companies is being carried out as expected, as shown by the cross-selling activities carried out and all the new contracts obtained in the various areas. And with all these effects included, the net income has reached 4.4 million euros and represents a significant increase of 33% compared to the same period last year. In this way, consolidated with Automotive and with Dominion, in this first quarter, we have turned 130 million euros of EBITDA into 65% in an income after taxes. We have converted 50%. That's 65 million that represents a result after tax of 7.5% over turnover. And we have increased the attributed net income almost 50% compared to the same period last year, which definitely brings us closer to our goal of 260 million for 2019. If we talk about the situation of the balance sheet for the group, we have closed the quarter with a net financial debt of 904 million euros, which represents a net financial debt EBITDA of 1.98 times for the year. However, although in this NFD ratio, the payment of Nucor is included, in the annualized EBITDA, Nucor has not been included since it has not been yet consolidated in the first quarter. With the inclusion of both the NFD and EBITDA of Nucor, and not just NFD, the ratio would be less than 1.9 times. If in 2016 we included in our reports the quarterly balance sheet, now in 2017 we have taken a further step in transparency and have included the cash flow status, where we can very easily see the development of the debt. We start with a generated EBITDA of 130 million. We convert 74 million into operating cash flow, 57% of the EBITDA, over our conversion goal of 50% and over the conversion rate for previous quarters. And we have dedicated this generated cash and some additional debt to two fundamental concepts: the interim dividend for 2016 paid in January, and growth in its two aspects. First of all, the expansion of organic growth with its capex and associated working capital, and on the other hand, M&A. Regarding M&A, we have to clarify two things. During the first quarter of 2017, the complete Nucor purchase price has been paid, 101 million, an investment which is shown in the balance sheet as a fixed asset pending consolidation as of April 1st. The second clarification: the two most significant earnouts have not yet been paid out which are the 30 million euros for Amaya Tejeria, which will be included in the second quarter, and the almost 20 million euros from Beroa Dominion that will be included in the third quarter. In other words, in this first quarter, the acquisition of Nucor has prevented reducing debt, but we have maintained the high operating cash generating profile, which characterizes us by its recurrence. We do it through pure cash flow generation and not by an increase in assets. And I promise to finish with this. Again, we repeat our commitment to the market and with absolutely meeting the goals for the Strategic Plan 2020. You who will have also seen that this morning in the 2016 shareholders meeting, we have updated the organic goals for 2020. We have improved them and made them even more ambitious. We have increased the average growth for these 5 years from 7 to 8.5%. We have slightly decreased the need for investment below 6% over sales. We have increased almost 10% the dividends to be paid out during the period. We reiterate our EBIT margin goals of 12% and RONA over 20%. And we have updated with the current perimeter, with the planned dividends and the expected cash generation, debt for 2020, which we now anticipate at 0.8 times NFD over EBITDA. And with this updating goals and with this announcement, we finish the presentation and move on to your questions. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much, Lorea. Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your phone. To ensure a sound quality, we recommend you ask your questions via a landline. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we remind you that if you would like to ask a question, dial 01 on your phones. Thank you. The first question is from Manuel Aguadio from BTI. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. First of all, to clarify your strong organic growth and how do you see it for the coming quarters? I don't know whether you think that growth is sustainable in the automotive sector, considering your average target of 8.5. But also, I would like to understand how you see the evolution of your market share, considering this strong growth, and also whether this growth was brought about by the new plants coming into operation. Thank you. Manuel, thank you very much for the question. You're very right in that the organic growth this quarter has been spectacular, and I wish I could say that it's going to be sustainable for many years. But in fact, when we updated the organic growth for the period, and what's left of the period is this year, and 18, 19, 20, another 3 years, we've pointed to 8.5 as an average. In other words, this growth is especially high during 2017, but is not going to be sustainable. This 17% in the automotive area is not going to be sustainable over all these years. However, in a global market that we're seeing is growing at low single digits, at 2, 3, 3.5, maintaining 8.5% over the period, which is what we're providing as the guidance, I think is almost trembling, and I think it's high enough to give it the merit it deserves. Market share, without a doubt. Every time we exceed the market, every time we beat the market, as we did this quarter, little by little, we are penetrating a little more in each market and gaining market share. You know that thanks to our process, not product profile, we can't exactly talk about market shares by product, but without doubt we tried to give you the figures of how we've evolved in each market compared to how the market has evolved, so that you'll be able to see that all the new projects we are achieving mean that we are becoming more and more important players and picking up market share in each of the geographic areas. Thank you very much. The next question is from Juan Canovas from Fidentiis. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. A question. Could you give us an indication of what visibility you have regarding this sales increase up to 2020? And has it been improving in this first quarter? And I would also like to ask about the prospects of new customers. And I refer to what was said at Mahindra regarding the prospect of adding Japanese customers to your portfolio. I don't know whether you can give us some insight into this. Thank you very much, Juan, for the question. Regarding sales visibility, I think that we have to talk about two aspects. On the one hand, you know we have an extremely high visibility for the next quarter. We've shared with all of you what our management system is like and how each month we ask all our plants to report on the next 3 months, because there's a great deal of visibility. So there I would say it's 100% or practically 100%. Regarding sales in 2020, I think we're in a sector, the automotive sector, that's very different to other sectors you're familiarized with, where the long-term duration of our contracts, which on average can last 7 to 8 years, gives us an extremely high visibility. So what visibility do we have for 2020? Well, a very high visibility, because there are projects that are coming in, others that are phasing out, others that are ending. But with the average duration of these projects, talking about sales in 4 or 5 years' time is not as difficult as in other sectors. Customers to what customers? You mentioned our eternal promise of the Japanese customer. It's looking closer and closer. And we're the first to want to give you great news about Japanese customers like Toyota, where our presence is currently more symbolic than real. But you know that at CIE Automotive, we've been trying for many years and it's been complicated. Mahindra CIE has always been our closest gateway to those customers. Through the acquisition of Bilforge, we've taken a gigantic step towards diversification with some countries like Maruti Suzuki or Hyundai. And why not think that we're going to continue to diversify? That's what we're working on, and we believe that Mahindra CIE can be our key to that gateway that we haven't achieved at CIE for so many years. Thank you very much. The next question, Itier Gomez from CaixaBank. Hello, good afternoon, Loreo. I would like to ask about 2017. We've seen very good news in organic growth in India, with an organic growth of 14%, in Brazil 18%. And I would like to ask whether this growth can be sustainable throughout the year. And with the drive we've seen in margins, can we still see some improvement from quarter to quarter based on the sustained increase in income? Thank you for the question, Ithier. Regarding the top line and the growth, as I said at the beginning to Manuel, without a doubt, within the strategic plan over this five-year period, 2017 is going to be especially strong in growth. It's going to be especially strong in growth. Without promising that it will be 17% again, which is enormous in automotive, we are committed to an important growth. And regarding margins, we consider that these margins are sustainable to a large extent, although there are some exogenous variables such as the exchange rate in Mexico, which without a doubt has helped a little bit, much less than you might expect. If you work out the numbers, you'll see that it hasn't helped very much, but it has been of some help. So apart from variables like that, or another variable, for example, the rate of growth in the Brazilian market, the rate of recovery could somehow establish our operational leverage there. So in that context of certain variables we don't control, but everything that is within our hands in operations, and I refer above all to Mahindra CIE margins in Asia or Europe, or traditional Europe, without a doubt, we consider them to be sustainable margins. Thank you very much. The next question, Robert Jackson from Banco Santander. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. I had a question about India. Bearing in mind the organic growth we've seen, 17% in emerging markets, should this figure be higher in the coming months? Looking at the Mahindra CIE figures published last week, the Tudor segment dropped 2.1% in production, so I was somewhat surprised. So could you give us greater visibility on the Indian market? Thank you very much, Robert. In the Indian market, it's true that the demonetization has had an effect, without a doubt, but the demonetization has had a more significant effect on the Tula side. The Tula has had much bigger drops in recent months than the one you've just mentioned for the last month, which is a small drop. It had much more significant drops of up to 40%. So that part also seems to be recovering. In passenger vehicles, it's taken as recovered. And in the other area is in commercial vehicles that are still to recover, as we read in the press yesterday. So the two-wheeler and the commercial vehicle, apart from those, the passenger vehicle has more or less recovered after the demonetization effect, a demonetization effect that was thought would hit at the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, and that's what happened the last month last year and the first 2 months this year, but it's more or less over. And we had always said, and fingers crossed, that in any case they would just be deferred sales. I've seen some preliminary figures, only preliminary figures for April for India, and it's looking very good. So it looks as if what we said is going to happen. They are sales that were deferred or postponed, but would come back in 2017. So we have to think that the demonetization effect is more or less over, not so much for two-wheelers, but the only effect on two-wheelers is on a third of the billboard sales dedicated to the two-wheeler segment. So that doesn't hurt us that much, if I may say so. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you should dial 01 on your phones. We have a question from Xavier Bron from Solventis. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lodea. Congratulations on the results. I have a couple of questions. The first is more general about the situation of the automotive sector in the US and what the effects could be. And secondly, you always focus on the profitability of each plant, on increasing profitability. Could you give us what percentage of the plants are below that expected profitability threshold? And what are you doing to recover them, and where are those plants? Xavier, thank you very much. Regarding the automotive sector in the United States, I don't think there's much new. in the sense that for a long time, and when I say a long time, I mean over a year or a couple of years, hearing that after the extraordinary cycle we'd been through, we would come to that famous plateau, as they call it in the sector, the famous plateau, and or even a slight drop. But what we're seeing in the data, and let me isolate the Trump effect, we can talk about that later, but the only thing we're seeing is the confirmation of what we, not us, but the sector, what we saw was coming for some time. And I leave the Trump effect aside, because although for the time being, the fact is that we've seen a lot of threats or a lot of promises, I don't know what to call it, we haven't seen many realities. I'm not saying they won't happen, but we haven't seen them yet. And perhaps protectionist policies or interventionist policies by Mr. Trump could change that situation and perhaps bring about a somewhat higher demand. But aside from interventionist movements in the market, what we're seeing is what the sector had been announcing was going to happen for some time regarding which plants aren't on the profitability threshold. Well, the strategic plan, since we launched it at the beginning of 16, was as simple or as complicated as this summary I'm going to give you. We had two geographic areas, traditional Europe, ex-Mahindra CIE and NAFTA, that had margins before launching this strategic plan, which we consider to be extremely good, with EBIT margins over 10%, and in the case of NAFTA, much higher than 10%. And there were three geographic areas that are Brazil, Mahindra CIE Europe, and Mahindra CIE Asia, that were below those margins. So those are the CIE automotive areas where, without a doubt, we consider them to be below the acceptable level, our goal. And these areas are where quarter by quarter, with this strategic plan, we want to gradually prove that we are improving and reach the goal we've said. If you look at the strategic plan and work out the numbers, here we're going to improve I don't know how many basis points and I don't know how many here. What we're saying is that all areas that are below 10% EBIT should reach 10% EBIT. That's the objective we've imposed on ourselves, and that's the goals we backed in this morning's shareholders meeting. So I would say that these three areas concentrate the largest number of plants that are at a profitability level that we don't like so much and which still need to be improved. Thank you very much. We don't have any more questions for today's conference, so I'll hand over to Lorea for her conclusions. Thank you. Thank you all very much for this half hour, and you know we are at your disposal for whatever you might need. Thank you.